What's yours? Words of hope. All right. Let's do it. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night at whatever time you may view this particular live stream. I am your host, Darshawn McWay. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We got a different scenery going on Facebook. You get the wide view. YouTube, you get the narrow view. YouTube, I tried to look out for y'all, but the YouTube numbers are terrible, man. Y'all got to come through and support the kid. So we are in the building. We really appreciate everybody for doing their thing. Okay, we sound good. We sound on an echo, somewhat of an echo for Facebook, but we're going to check it out real quickly and see what's what. We do have a guest. They may not speak. They may speak. I don't know. We'll find out. But today's show is about broken promises. And a lot of times when I think about broken promises, I think about one of those things as to where it's something that you're not supposed to do, right? The Bible warns against it because you may not be able to come through on your promise. And there's been a few things. Oh, yeah, it's this microphone. There have been a few things that I made some promises on that I wasn't supposed to. Small things, too. But those small things, they mean a lot, because a lot of people really depend on your word. They really try to find out, like, hey, you told me that you was going to do this. If you really think about it, the promises that we make to each other are one of the main things that people kind of depend on. They depend on your word. You make, let's say, for example, you make a promise to your boss that you're going to come in to work on time. Well, you keep on showing up late. That's the only thing they can depend on. Hey, you said you was going to be here at this time. You promised me this. So we put out these like false promises. We put them out in relationships. We put them out in like in our friendships, you know, work environments, business partnerships, things like that. But a lot of people don't follow through on their promises. So the title of the show is Broken Promises. Don't make them. You'll be better off telling somebody like, hey, I'll follow up with you, or I'll see what I can do. But when you tell somebody, no, I promise I'll never leave you. Oh, wait a minute. You said this. You promised me you would never leave me. You promised me you wouldn't cheat on me. Anybody guilty? I said that quite a few times. Who would I end up with? Totally different person. I done made so many broken promises. So many ladies was like, you told me that we was going to get married. Hold on. What year was that? You know, what year was that? But a lot of people made broken promises. I had a person tell me that they promised that they wasn't, never going to cheat on me again. Yeah, I've been cheated on. At a young age, too. At a young age. It all started back in high school. One of the most crazy experiences I've ever had in my life. I was every bit about 16 years old, and I still know the person to this day. We cool now. We friends now. But in the beginning, she had made a promise that she wasn't a player. She also made a promise that she wasn't going to, like, cheat on me. Now, mind you, I'm 16 years old. 16. Pretty tall for a 16-year-old. I pretty much look the same, just without the facial hair, right? And one day, I go to school, and I'm thinking to myself, this is the day that it just feels weird. Walking down the hallway, I see her kissing on another girl. That was my first time, like, realizing this. Like, oh, this is a thing. Like, this, oh, this is high school. That, like, this is high school. And the funny part about it, and that when I say funny, I mean funny and ironic. The funny part about it was the girl who she was kissing on was a girl who had a crush on me. So here I am, tangled up in two girls who like me, but one I'm actually with, but the other girl like her too, but she like me too. So I'm looking and I see her, and as I'm looking at her, I got my book back on, you know, I'm like this in the hallway, and I'm confused because I get it. I see like the girl on girl thing, you know, at that time, you see it, but you're like, oh, I wasn't into the girl on girl thing. This is my girlfriend. I see my girlfriend kissing a girl who I know got a crush on me. Like, but she told me she wasn't going to cheat on me. She told me she wasn't a player. So as I see them by the, like a column in the hallway, I just turned back around. And that was my first real moment of not making a promise that I can't keep, or at least I shouldn't do it. So I held on to it for like that whole day, went to basketball practice. She was a basketball, she played basketball. And after practice, I just came out with it. I'm very straightforward. I'm the most blunt person you're probably ever going to meet in life. And I don't hold anything back because I need to move on with my life the next day. And I said to her, I saw you kissing, around like 10 something in the morning. And I promise you, I can hear her heart beating out her chest. And she's looking all scared. And I'm thinking to myself, like, what's the reason? Like, why? And this was my first time understanding what bisexual meant. So I was like, why you didn't tell me that you like girls? Like, why did you parade me around? And she was like, I'm sorry. I said, yeah, but you had told me that you're not a player and I'm not going to do you like this, because that's what, you know, the older women or the seniors or the, you know, juniors, they do things to freshmen. I was a freshman. And she said, oh, it just happened. I say, so I just go to school one day and I just so happen to see you kiss a girl. It just happened. She's like, yeah. So I go, I say, all right, I'll tell you what. I say, I'm not cool with it. Now, other dudes at that time, when I told them what happened, they said I was stupid. Oh, you should have told them you want both of them. And, you know, that was the cool thing to do, so to speak. That would have been the cool thing to do, but I'd never been that type of dude. I wasn't I need two girls and, hey, this is how I look. I may look like that now, but I wasn't that way back then. I was a honest 16-year-old coming into high school, trying to have a girlfriend, trying to do the right thing. Saw myself with her all the way through high school, kids, everything, because we were probably one of the best couples from high school at that particular time. So mind you, she made a promise to me. Promised me she wasn't going to cheat on me. Promised me she wasn't going to like parade me around. Just promised me she wasn't going to play with me. But that was the thing that people did. People made broken promises. So at 16 years old, I had this revelation, if you will, of like, oh, people don't know how to hold on to their word. They don't know how to be honest. When in actuality, when all you actually have to do is tell somebody what your boundaries are, tell somebody what your standards are, tell somebody what you expect, tell somebody what you want to do, and then give them the opportunity to make that decision for themselves. They'd be like, okay, I'm gonna rock with you or not. So if she would have told me that she was into girls or she was bisexual, I probably would have been like, oh no, I mean, I'll be your friend because you're a cool person, but I'm not trying to be in a relationship with you. Because my mentality at that time, I wasn't ready for that. I was going to school, getting good grades, trying to be an all-American basketball player, trying to take it to the next level through college or even skip to the NBA. And that was my focus. So having a girlfriend, it was okay, but at the same time, it was a distraction. Because here I am seeing something at the time for me that was remotely disturbing. That was my first time really seeing it. It's like, oh, snap, she's cheating on me. And out of all people, she's cheating on me with the girl. Like, what? Like, what happened? Long story short, I end up talking to her and I say, well, why didn't you tell me that you were, you know, into the same sex? And she said to me, I thought you would, you know, be ashamed of me. And that was probably my first time realizing that I don't really have room to judge anybody, because I don't know what to judge people off of. That's never been my character. I can't really judge you off of what? Like, what's my standards? What's the level of judging you to make myself seem like I'm superior than you, to be like, oh, well, you, shame on you. You shouldn't do this. It's like, so funny thing about it is she ended up apologizing. The girl who she was kissing on, we all kind of had a conversation, and it was really pitted towards me if I wanted to still allow it to happen. And a moment slipped in my mind, like, oh, okay, I can have two girls and it's just me. I just wasn't there. It was just something else. So I said no, moved on. Me and the girl broke up after some time. You know, she stopped talking to the girl for a little bit, and then I noticed the telltale signs of them sneaking around. And then I was like, well, I got a certain image I got to protect. I'm hanging out with a certain group of dudes, and these dudes are encouraging me to be like, hey, go ahead and do what you got to do. You know, you 16, step into manhood. Like, it was one of those things. And I was like, nah, I'm not ready, because I was terrified. And I do mean terrified. I was terrified of having a baby or catching some type of disease. When I say terrified, I was terrified, okay? So I end up letting them go. And I've told this story to my friends a long time ago. They know who the person is. And anybody who went to the high school I went to, they know who I'm talking about, right? Because we were the talk of the town for a long time. And, you know, I've been that dude for a minute. I've been that dude probably most of my life. And I learned then that I probably shouldn't make promises that I can't keep, because I was dependent on her word. And a lot of times when we get into relationships, friendships, partnerships, we say things that I think we have good intentions towards, but we don't really mean them. I'm in a situation right now where when I thought about it, I go, oh, snaps, I made this promise about 8 years ago, and I was keeping up with my promise, but then I broke it. So now that I broke the promise, I'm reaping the repercussions of the bad side of it, because of what I said. That person held on to my word. Why? Because I was a trustworthy person until I couldn't handle it anymore. So I made a broken promise to maybe dozens of people. Hell, I made promises to myself that I haven't even kept. And you got to be careful when you do that, because what happens is you start to tarnish your reputation, because that's all you really have. I mean, who's really, I know some people talk to people because they got money, but who's really talking to you because you got money to overcompensate your reputation? Not many people. Not many. So my question to you is, why are you making a broken promise that you can't keep? It's because you think that you can, or you think that it's never going to happen. You think like, oh, no, it's never going to come to that time where I got to cross the bridge. The damn bridge is on fire. Ah, damn, I made this promise. I told this person I'll save them, but the bridge is on fire. Because we do it all the time. You do it to yourself. You make a broken promise to yourself every single day. Yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go work out. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to stop drinking. What happens? You toe up the next day. Got a hangover. Don't look at me. I ain't do it. Right? But it happens all the time. It's just broken promises all the time. People do it every single day. So my question to you is, like, why do you do it? I mean, I really want to know, like, why do you make the promise? I've been going through a situation lately and experiencing so many different things. And I come to realize that, man, like, tomorrow cannot come for a lot of people. And I mean, like, it, like, tomorrow in itself doesn't come for a lot of people, not just in death, but people who end up in a situation where their tomorrow is not a regular tomorrow. Like, their expectations of what they were going to do, it never get met. I've had a couple situations where I'm like, man, tomorrow didn't come for me. I'm still here, But like, yo, the plans I had for the next day, they didn't even come through. And I'm trying to think back on all the broken promises that people gave me. And I go, man, I had a few promises that people said, like, no, I promise I'll do this. I promise I'm going to give you your money back. Or I promise I'm going to come pick you up. I promise I'm going to do this. I promise I'm going to be there for you. And I think about it, I go, dang, I got some broken promises too. I got a lot of broken promises. But a lot of the broken promises I had, the most that really kind of disturbed me was the people who were, or should I say, not people, just the women who were telling me certain things about myself. Oh, I promise you, I'm not like the rest. Oh, don't compare me to them. I'm not like them. And then I look back on my life, I go, ain't none of y'all different. Everybody making me the same promise. And yeah, where am I? By myself yet again. Years later. So why not tell me the truth? Don't even promise me anything. Just tell me the truth. Have the conversation. Give me the opportunity to make the decision for myself. Just talk to me. Don't make a promise. Don't tell me that you're not. It's like, just be who you are. We run into it all the time, though. It's something about the fact that we realize that we ultimately don't know what the other person is thinking, that we can lie, say whatever we're going to say, make the broken promise and be like, well, that person don't know because you don't know what I'm thinking. But actually, we do know what each other is thinking. It's called intuition. You can feel it. You can feel the intuition and go like, nah, something ain't right. Like this, ooh. Did she just lie to me? But when I think back on all these stories, this is why I start writing books. When I think about all these stories that I put together, I go, that heifer was lying to me from the get-go. Do you know how many women, and I've said this before, so this is no secret. Do you know how many women I have probably slept with that were married that I didn't even know? No, I promise you, I'm not in a relationship. Married, got kids, big old house. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to go look them up, run a background check, pay $75. Mm-hmm. Yep. She. Oh. Ooh. Nobody has time for that. You meet somebody on a whim. It's a weekend. You ask them questions to make sure. A lot of people ask those questions. Hey, are you married? Do you have a girlfriend? That type of stuff, because they want to make sure they're not stepping on somebody else's toes if they get with you that night. Nobody wants to have a guilty conscience. Knowing that you slept with me probably to get back at somebody else, or you are married to someone and we're sleeping together, but yet I'm in a bad situation because you're a married person. And it's a big mess when that happens. Now, you got to give the other person the opportunity to say, well, hey, I'm married. I got this. Are you still willing to talk to me? You know, I'm going through the process of this. This is what we're going to do. You'd be like, okay, it's different. But if you just come straight out the gate and you lie about it, it's like, how was I supposed to know? Empty promises, broken promises. We got Jess in the building. Jess, talk about it. She says, I like your new setup. How was she ashamed? She's doing it in the public eye. I was a very prominent figure in high school. I make a lot of people feel a certain type of way. And she was just ashamed that, you know, whatever she told me, I don't even know how to say it. My presence against a lot of people make them feel tiny. I don't know what it is that I do. It's just the way I come off to people. You know, I'm a little bit larger than life in person and verbally. So she felt shame on that standpoint because I was a pretty good basketball player in high school. So she was ashamed of that. She also says, just talk about it, says cheating is cheating, probably kept you from being a teen parent. Definitely kept me from being a teen parent. And I was afraid of becoming a teen parent too. My mama said, boy, don't you better wear those condoms. You have a baby. She said, my mom told me, she said, let me get you to understand something. She said, there are going to be a lot of women. that are going to tell you how handsome you are, how pretty your eyes are, and that they want to have a baby by you just because of your eyes. And I thought that was weird. I was like, who wants to have a baby with me just because of my eyes? Then I found out it was a lot of women that like my personality, like what I brought to the table, like what my future projections were, but they really fell in love with my eyes. Really fell in love with my eyes. And for a long time, that was a thing that women had gravitated towards. You got some real pretty eyes, you know. And my eyes would hypnotize, and my eyes have gotten me a lot of opportunities. I put it to you that way. So, but yeah, now them cheating on me definitely helped me from becoming a teen parent for sure. Cause I was terrified at being a parent. I wasn't ready. Wasn't thinking about kids. Actually for a while, I couldn't stand other people's kids. I couldn't stand the fact that I realized that most people who were parents at that time, late 80s, early 90s, I realized they couldn't do anything. Yeah, you can't do nothing. You're a parent, you got to go to work, you got to take care of the kid. And then on top of that, they were single parents too. It wasn't like a two-parent household. It was like single parents. I ended up having a few relationships with women who were separated and had like 2, 3, 4 kids. That's kind of been a thing in my life too. I've actually dated 3 women who had over 6 kids. The highest was 9. 2 of them had 9. 2. Never seen them in person. Same pictures of them, but never seen them in person. And the crazy thing about it is the women who are baby mothers or single parents, they finally realize how to treat the next guy that comes into their life. That's why so many men probably end up with women who have children, because that woman, out of all the kids she had, she finally learned her lesson. Like, dang, this dude is the same. Okay, the next guy that come around, I ain't gonna scare him off. I mean, think about it. You're gonna see, perfect example, Michael Jordan's son. I forgot his name, but Michael Jordan's son is with Larsa Pippen. Larsa Pippen has like 4 or 5 kids. Marcus Jordan is a single young man, multimillionaire. Larsa Pippen is a multimillionaire, but who is he with? He's with a woman who had, she's divorced. Her kids are partially grown, but she knows how to treat the next man coming in. You're going to see that all the time, because that single mother understands that not only does she need help, but she still wants attention too. Now, she's not necessarily looking for financial help from the guy towards the kid, but she's realizing, like, I don't want to walk this life alone. And it's funny that a lot of women who were with their baby father, they let him go to try to find something better than the baby father. That was it. The baby father was the best that you were going to get, because you got to look at life like that's the avenue that your kid came through. That was the best person to have a baby by. Although you may be upset, you may be frustrated, a lot of stuff happened during your relationship, but there's not going to be another man that's better than the actual biological parents. Just that's not how it is. That's not how it's meant to be. If it was, that child would have been born by somebody else. And that's how you got to look at it. So each individual baby father that you have was the best avenue for your child to come through, because you made the decision to keep the child. So throughout your life, I will tell you, like, hey, don't make any broken promises. Because tomorrow is not promised. And not to be a downer about it, just that I just noticed that a lot of people depend on tomorrow, because that's what their expectation is. I'm going to make this promise and, you know, this is what's going to happen. Anyway, we got anybody in the building? Facebook, what we got going on? Facebook, YouTube, we're about to wrap it up. We're going to do a different show in a little bit. I'm trying to knock out these shows. Life has been busy for me, man. Just talk about it. How you been? Anybody who catches on the replay, I hope life is working out well for you. I got a few things in the works, working on a few things. Life has been extremely hectic, but I wanted to come on here, talk about it, and let people know that I think everybody in this world is going through something. More, if you really think about it, a lot of people have some very difficult situations that you can't even fathom. You know, you can't even fathom it, the things that people are going through. I'm talking about like right now, people are going through some extremely difficult situations and they're trying to keep a happy smile on their face while fighting through a lot of pain. That's the type of life that we live in. I don't know if anyone has like a YouTube page or some type of channel where they like constantly complain, but I think I want to do a show where I constantly complain about things so I can hear what my complaints are and then figure out, well, how did I get to this situation where I'm complaining about it? Because anything that I complain about, I put myself in that situation. And a lot of times what we complain about is the lack of like finances. You know, paying a bill, not having enough money for this. It's like, okay, well, what are you doing not to have it? And if you're not consistently working and bringing in some type of income, well, yeah, you're going to complain about a lot of different things. Because this life is made for us to have a continuation of work. And whatever you started, ultimately, you'll never finish it. Like, for example, you have children that grow up. You will never finish seeing your children live their life to the end, or at least you're not supposed to, because ultimately what happens is as you're older, they're younger, you age out and you pass away. But in different circumstances, you know, some people, children pass away before them, and, you know, but that's not how it's supposed to go. So what I'm saying to you is life, it doesn't stop. It keeps on going, whether you're here or not, you know. And there's a lot that you have to consider. One of the biggest things I want to tell people is I really want you guys to live your life to the fullest. I'm talking about take advantage of every single hour, doing whatever it is that you want to do, writing in your diary, getting some sleep, like take advantage of your full 24 hours. Make yourself a part of something, even if you think that you're wasting time. Like, make yourself a part of it. And like really live life and live it with no regrets. Hey, I did this, I did that, no regrets. Because I'm telling you, life is here one day and then it's gone the next. Anyway, my name is Darshawn McAway. I appreciate you guys. We're going to get ready for another podcast. This is about a good full 30 minutes. Really do appreciate y'all. Feel free to hit that super chat button. We got that. It's active. Okay, it's active. Feel free to hit the super chat button, Cash App, everything like that. But before I go, if you have any questions or any comments, I would love to read them by all means. If not, thank you for being here. I really do appreciate you. It's always good to have somebody in the building when you're doing a live stream. And I know a lot of people catch my live streams later because it's pretty much impromptu. But I thank you guys for being here. I really do appreciate you. And one thing I want to tell you is you better be ready to live this life, because I am. Peace out. See y'all.